Welcome to episode 15 of the Vienna Jewcast. As usual, this is Ronnie and
Anya.
Today we have Ari as our guest, a writer, actor, and educator originally from Missoula, Montana, living in Vienna with their husband, two dogs, and a kitten. They have some amazing stories to share about their life, Jewish practices, and connection to Judaism. Thanks for being here, Ari.
Of course. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. And first off, could you just tell us a bit about yourself and your relationship with Judaism?
Sure. So basically, I've always identified as Jewish. I grew up knowing that I was Jewish, even though it came from my grandpa's side, my mother's father. And my mother is an atheist. So she didn't really raise me religiously or spiritually in the slightest. And it was only when I was hanging out with my grandpa, and I did live with my grandpa for some years of my life. So it was when I was living with him that I started to explore more of my Jewish roots and stuff like that. And as a kid, and even up until just a couple of years ago, it was still just like, it's part of my identity in that, like, I just was born Jewish, like the ethnicity, it's me, it's who I am. It's not something I can change. Even it doesn't matter if I totally believe in God or not. Like, there's still just this connection between me and the Jewish people. And I felt that whenever I was being a practicing Jew with my grandpa as a child. So even though I wasn't religious growing up, I was still confronted with the fact that I was Jewish a lot. And it was interesting. The first time it really became very clear that I was Jewish and that I was different was when I moved to Great Falls, Montana, which is much more conservative than Missoula. And a lot of people there are very religious Christians. And so this was my first time experiencing Christianity to this extent as well, because I very much was in this liberal bubble of Missoula, and my mother kept me in a bubble. So I didn't really experience a lot of stuff that was even bad within Missoula's liberal. So when I moved to Great Falls, I realized people were Christian, and I was like, Mom, what the heck is going on? She's like, yeah, lots of people are Christian here. You're Jewish? I'm like, yeah, I know that. And so I was very, very loud about being Jewish at school, even though I wasn't religious, because I just hated being the only person who was Jewish. People, kids would get mad at me for saying, oh my God. And it was just like, children. I had a friend whose mother would say, look at the beautiful sunset that God has given us. And for me, that was really hard to take. And now I've changed a lot in terms of my views of stuff. But as a 10-year-old, hearing that was like so uncomfortable to me. I had never really experienced anyone talk so openly about God in front of someone who wasn't their family. I'm just like, why are you talking about God in front of me? This is very uncomfortable. I do not like this in the slightest. And I actually had kids at school who were very anti-Semitic. So I was once in an after-school program, and a kid, I was talking to them about being Jewish, and he said to me, kill all the Jews, this 10-year-old kid. And so I immediately went to the teacher's aide, the first teacher I could find, and I said, this guy just said this to me. And I was expecting something to happen. And she looks at me and she says, that sucks, you know? You know, in life, you're going to have to deal with people saying things to you that hurt you. And, you know, I'm British, so I've had a lot of issues being in America, being British. So I know what that's like.
And that was a serious comparison that she was making.
That was a serious comparison she was making. And that was the entire extent of what was ever dealt with my anti-Semitic experiences at that school. So even as a kid, that affected me, but it never really truly, truly affected me. And until this last couple of years when I really started confirming my status as a Jew and actually researching what it means to me to be spiritual, what it means to be religious, and things like that. So I throughout my childhood would call back to that experience, and I told people about it, and I wrote scholarship essays about it. And I was like, yeah, when I was in fifth grade, this happened to me, and therefore give me a scholarship to this private school. You know, you always use whatever horrible things life has thrown at you to try and get a scholarship somewhere in America. So that was one of the things that I tried to get a scholarship for, was being like, yeah, so I'm Jewish and life is hard sometimes as a Jew, but I never really realized it as a kid to the extent that I now realize it, of course, as an adult. So that was my first experience with anti-Semitism. And then I kind of became a little bit more like practicing Jewish around the age of 11, because my mother was like, maybe Ari wants to have, at the time, a bat mitzvah. And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. I'll be down. So we started going to a Jewish school that was like separated from the synagogue. And it was more of a small community, kind of like a chabura sort of deal. And I started learning to read Hebrew. The books they gave us had you learn how to read Hebrew, but didn't actually teach you what they meant. So I'm very good at reading Hebrew with letters, with vowels attached to the letters. But when it comes to actually understanding what I am saying, there's a bit of a gap.
I feel like you're just describing my entire experience. But yeah, right? Well, we can talk about another
time.
Yeah,
yeah. So I learned some Hebrew. I remembered learning about the different holidays. I tried to study for a bat mitzvah. But at the time, it was just so overwhelming. I was taking private lessons once a week with this Jewish woman that my mother found somewhere. I don't know how she, well, I don't know, like she advertised my daughter, my child wants to have a bat mitzvah. And does anyone want to help them do that? And she basically recorded a bunch of prayers and I was supposed to memorize them all, like memorize these chants. And I was like, I don't understand what I'm saying. And this is really hard to memorize. And I was completely at a blank about why I was doing that and why I was memorizing, for example, the Shema, the Ve'ah Haftah. I didn't know what they meant. She just gave me a bunch of Jewish letters and said, memorize this. And I was just like, how is this supposed to help me prepare to be bat mitzvah or be a Jew? And so I gave it up and I said, Mom, I'm not doing it. So I didn't get bat mitzvah, which of course screwed me over later in life. Because now I am not considered Jewish at all in Europe, because it comes from my grandpa's side, not my grandma's side. And in America, that's fine, but here it's not. So I've been working with the rabbi at Or Chadash, just starting a few months ago, actually. So I've started going to the Intro to Judaism classes, going to the different Zoom events and just trying to get involved as much as I can and learn as much as I can. I do a lot on my own. Yeah, that's my basic, you know, journey so far. And we can further explain with different questions, I guess.
Thank you so much for describing that. And as I mentioned earlier, it sounds very similar to a lot of what I experienced. So it's very cool to hear another American kind of Jew that is exploring it at later in life. And it's funny because I always kind of felt alone in that. But the more I've been talking to people, the more I realize how similar and shared a lot of us have. The first thing that came to mind that I wanted to ask you about, because especially this is Vienna Jew cast, and of course, I'm also very biased because this played a big role in my journey, was actually coming to Vienna, Austria. And for me, it was really, I can point almost clearly to coming here as the turning point in my overall engagement with Judaism or thinking of Judaism and in a different way than as I had thought of it my entire life. And that was the start of an entirely new journey and spiritual journey that was completely non-existent or more or less non-existent besides my own bat mitzvah story and everything when I was younger with non-practicing parents and non-practicing grandparents. And so Vienna actually played a really big role for me. So I'm curious about is, to what extent has Vienna as a city or Austria as a country played a role in your relationship with Judaism and your journey?
Yeah, well, coming to Europe, some of the most exciting things that I was excited about was exploring Jewish history in different parts of Europe. I don't think I would say that coming to Vienna was for me the tipping point, though it was the first time as an adult that I experienced Judaism. I went to one or two services at Or Chadash, but it was so awkward. I didn't know anyone. I was just a guest. I was like, hi, I'm this random person. I'm going to sit here. I have no idea how to read a prayer book. I can read vowels. I don't know how to read a prayer book. I don't know what this means. I don't know what the tunes are. I don't know anything, but I've always loved the singing. And so I was just like, I'll pretend that I know the singing. So I did enjoy exploring Vienna and the Jewish places in Vienna. And I did try once or twice to kind of get more involved, but because of my own state in life, my own mental status, just where everything was career-wise, and just the fact that, I don't know, I just wasn't very religious and I never really thought it was necessarily to start this journey of confirming my status as a Jew. Because of that, it didn't really happen for a while. It only really started happening after I explored the witchy side of me. So I explored the witchy side of me, and then I started studying Kabbalah, and then I was like, yep, I want to confirm my status as a Jew. This is a thing.
It's a very interesting approach. Can you explain how this happened? Like,
yeah, so I'm trying to remember exactly how I got into witchcraft, and I honestly can't completely remember, except that I must have found some sort of free course online, like an email course. That was just like witchy 101, like what does it mean to cast spells? What does it mean to like what are different meditative practices, self-care practices? And it was all, for me, it was all about me, self-care. Like that was the number one thing that happened was I need to focus on me right now. I started doing different spells and rituals with witchcraft, connecting with the moon, and really what it was as well was it was just research, it was learning, it was reading, it was making connections, and I was taking the stuff I learned from witchcraft and comparing it with Louise Hay affirmations, so the total secular side of healing yourself. I took that and then I took it to witchcraft, and then I started just listening to some stuff about Kabbalah and Kabbalistic practices and what that means in that history, and I still don't know a lot about it, but all I know is that I listened to this one rabbi speak for like hours on it on a free like audio thing from scribd.com, and I was all like, all right, I'm sold, this is me, I need to confirm my status as a Jew. It's also really important because I want my kids to have that choice. Like it was like, oh, my kids can convert, I guess. But at the same time, I find it so unfair that my kids are just not going to be born automatically Jewish. And that really angered me because of the fact that I felt so Jewish. Basically, by diving into first Louise Hay secular affirmations and self-care, and I switched to then witchcraft. And then through witchcraft, I found Kabbalah. And then I went back to Judaism. I was like, all right, I guess I really am a Jew. And I got to confirm my status because this is actually really exciting for me, and I am enjoying the process of learning about Judaism, about the Jewish practices, reading Torah, and for me it's been like a reawakening of my love of learning, because I used to be this total Ravenclaw. I was obsessed with school, obsessed with 4.0, obsessed with learning everything, reading every single page. And it went away because of mental health issues. And obviously that's unhealthy. Perfectionism is unhealthy. So I kind of switched. I wasn't much of a Ravenclaw anymore. I became a Hufflepuff, and I was just, my mental status was really low, and I wasn't getting any joy to learn. I didn't have any motivation to learn. It was too hard. And now that I finally was able to settle myself and have a few epiphanies about my life and who I am and what I believe in, I was able to get back to Judaism. Weird journey, lots of spaces.
No, it's amazing, it's great, and it's really remarkable how many parallels there are. My connection with Judaism, so the communal aspect was definitely when I came to Vienna, and this was a place for me to be meeting people. But as far as the spiritual side, it started out with very secular, doing self-care rabbit holes on the internet that eventually became slightly more esoteric, and then Kabbalah. And then that was this total awakening, and then returning to Judaism with the new light of, wow, spirituality, there's spirituality here, which I had never considered it before. I considered it like this cultural, you know, I'm an ethnic Jew or whatever we say best. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also went this secular Kabbalah and then spiritual route, which I
think that's astounding how similar our journeys are.
Yeah, this is really, really incredible. One thing that I wanted to ask about that I'm curious, continuing on this idea of communality versus solo journey, and Judaism is unique in that it's almost impossible to do completely on your own anyway. Mm-hmm. And so even though we both,
especially with all the rules about when you're allowed to do stuff, you have to have a certain amount of Jews presence.
Yeah, exactly. It's written.
Well, I guess we can't do that today.
Absolutely, exactly. It's literally written into it that you have to have people in order to do things. And I guess my greater question is also, since you also started in a very solo, internal, introspective place, but now you're really pursuing all of these communal aspects of it, you know, with the pandemic.
That's a great question.
Yeah, how has that been for you?
It's been hard because I'm very socially anxious, and it's only in the past, you know, few months that I've finally been able to get over my anxiety a little bit, and not get over it, not at all. I'm not getting over my anxiety in the slightest, but I can now function with my anxiety. I really, what I enjoy about witchcraft is that I'm a solo witch. I don't work in a coven or something, right? I'm a solo witch. It's all about me. And then I share with other people and I learn from other people through Facebook groups and whatnot, through Tumblr or wherever. So it's about sharing information. But in general, I practice by myself or I include Max, my husband, in some rituals, which it, the ones that he's interested in participating in with me. So with Judaism, I always knew that it was a congregational thing, that it's something where you pray together, you learn together. Judaism is all about community. I'm excited about that. And I always loved as a child, the community of Judaism, but as an adult dealing with my anxiety, it's been tricky for me. And then also because I'm at such a state right now, dealing with my trauma from my past, I'm a very emotional person. So I don't know what would have happened if for the past several months, I would have had to go to services in person because I sob through services. When I pray, when I sing, when I think about my trauma in my past, which I relate to a lot to when I pray, obviously, I'm just sobbing. I'm just, and it's releasing. I enjoy it. I enjoy the fact that I'm now able to release emotions because in the past it was like, I wasn't able to release emotions nearly as much. I'm finally at a place where I can deal with the emotions and also function afterwards. So it's been really helpful to me, the fact that I've decided to confirm my status as a Jew during a pandemic, because I get to experience my first services and everything online, where I get to elect when I'm muted, when they people can see me or not. I feel so much control over it. And that's really helpful. So I just imagine when everything opens up again. So in general, I don't plan to get out of isolation anytime soon for multiple reasons. So the only reason I will probably leave my house after the pandemic opens is to go to Or Chadash if they are having in-person services again. But it's been really hard as well, the fact that it's on Zoom, because I don't really know anyone at all. I only know people from just observing them during services. So I kind of start to slowly learn people's names. And now that I finally have, you know, dealt with my social anxiety a bit by being allowed to control how open I am with the Zoom meetings, I think that I'm finally at a place that I will be able to reach out again or more. Not really again, I guess I never really did. So reach out for the first time to really start making connections with people in the congregation, because right now it's just people know my face, I know their face, we say Shabbat Shalom and then goodbye. And now I really can't wait to actually meet people. Mm-hmm. And because I don't really know anyone Jewish, like in my life, except my grandpa, I guess. And my grandpa used to be really religious and then he became super not religious. Well, he's still spiritual, but he's not as religious as he was. So his view of Judaism is different than mine. And so I want to find more people that I can talk to and see what are other people's views of Judaism and their place in it. Because all I have right now is my grandpa. And as much as I love him, that's not the only view of Judaism out there.
No, I think it's so fascinating what you were saying about maybe the opportunity of Zoom with your initial introduction or your initial getting involved, because I can think back to when I was first getting involved and every time I was terrified, I only went if one of the other American language assistants was going to be there. And the whole time I felt like I was in a bubble, and it was all imagined, but I was so confused. Like, everyone knows that I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know when to turn around. I don't know when to bow. I don't know what to sing. I don't know what to whatever. And there, all those thoughts, it took me so long to let go of that. And then what happened once I kind of got past those and then I was getting into the prayers, then I started crying all the time. So as you said that, I was just thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so true that it is a benefit of Zoom to be able to turn off the video and then just get lost in these effects that then we feel sometimes in engaging in this. So I think that's such a good point to bring up. And it's great that you've been able to have this kind of buffer as you're getting involved. Yeah. Is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to, though, once we're all vaccinated and we're really nothing to worry about anymore? Things aren't.
Yeah. So if things are nothing to worry about, what I'm most looking forward to is having kids and raising them Jewish, but also at the same time raising them to understand other religions as well, and also letting them know that they will always have a choice. Like, so I will raise them Jewish until they're like, you know, ready to enter middle school, and then they'll have more of a choice about how involved they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just like, mm-hmm. we're gonna do this as a family, and because you have to hang out with me because you're not allowed to hang out by yourself, you have to do Jewish things with me because that's just how it works. But I will always allow you, I will always give you information about other religions, about other practices. And your dad is not Jewish, but he like accepts my Jewish faith, and we have similar values and belief systems, and we can still talk about Torah and debate the parasha portions together. Over the past week, we've watched Joseph, King of Dreams, and the Prince of Egypt, because obviously that's been the last couple of stories of the Torah. And so I've just been, it's been fascinating to me just like watching these videos, reading the Torah, watching different YouTube videos of different rabbis talk about it, and then talking to Max about it. I mean, like, Max, I'm religious now. And he's like, yeah, I know, but you're like, it's fine. Like, he's fine with it. Like, he understands that this is something that's going on, and he gets me, and he knows that I haven't really changed as a person. He knows that my values are still the same, but it is very different to him now. Like, wow, I'm married to someone who prays and is religious. This is kind of weird for me, because like, he never expected that would be the case. He was raised Christian, but his family isn't very religious. Uh-huh. In my relationship with him, he's never been religious in the slightest. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely very new for him, me being like, yeah, so I got services on Friday and Saturday. I've got Intro to Judaism on Wednesday. I've got Discussing the Torah on Thursday. It's like a huge adaptation in our relationship. My personality has completely changed since I've become a spiritual person. So some things in our relationship are getting better. Some things are, you know, tense. And so now, and then we have to talk about it and learn new ways of communicating. But I do feel that we have a very strong relationship, and that we're getting through this huge personality shift in me. And he's actually gotten more interested in the Bible stories, and he's gotten more interested in witchcraft and tarot, because I've started reading tarot as well. So it's really fun just to have Max kind of jump on a little bit. And then, you know, once we have kids, like, it'll be interesting being like, all right, so what do I explore with the kids, and what do I wait?
There was this question that like came to my mind when you were talking about the kids and about giving them the choice to be Jewish. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it's actually the other way around. You know, if I have kids, then they're going to be Jewish. And of course, they can decide on what level they're going to engage with it and yeah, deal with it and stuff. But their status would be Jewish, halachically. Mm-hmm. So yeah. In what sense do you see the chance for them to choose Judaism?
So I don't plan to force my kids after they've joined middle school. I don't plan to be like, you have to come with services to me now. You have to get a bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, or the gender neutral version that I can't remember the name of right now. I'm not going to force them to participate in a religion that they don't want to. So I think that it's very important to me that they know that I'm Jewish and that I explore the Jewish faith with them, so that they can see that this is something that helped your parent. And this is something that dad also can relate to on some level, and that we have these practices in our house. We do Shabbat, we do all these things. But at the same time, I want them to know about all the other religions that are out there, all the different ideas, all the different ideas of what God is, whether God is the universe or the source or whatever, or if God is this being. I want them to know that there's other options out there, and I want to encourage them to always ask questions, which is what I love about Judaism. Is forever since I was a kid, they've always told me it's all about asking questions, it's all about questioning, it's all about debating and being a scholar and learning and learning and sharing and sharing. And that for me, those are values that I've always held dear. And so I want to instill those values in my children. And part of that is teaching them that you can choose to convert to another religion if you want to. You can choose to be born Jewish and be ethnically Jewish and then not be a practicing Jew anymore. I'm perfectly happy with whatever you choose, but these are the values that I'm going to instill in you until you are in middle school, basically. Because I feel like that's kind of the age where I'm going to allow them to, you know, not be around me all the time. But for me, it was just like, I want them to be born Jewish, because it's not fair for me that I had to go, like, I just find it so unfair that I have to, I'm fine with confirming it now. And I think it's a great idea, because I needed to go through this spiritual journey. So I think it's a great idea for people to confirm their statuses as Jews. But at the same time, I want my kids to know you were born Jewish, because that for me was so important to me growing up. And that was the only thing I had grounding me spiritually. So that's why it's important to me that they have that. But it's also really important to me that they choose their own way, whether that means they become total witches and join a coven, or that means they convert to Christianity, the loving version. I will be very sad if they convert to any other type of Christianity, but I've started to also come to understand Christians so much more now that I'm confirming my status as a Jew. So for example, one of my favorite authors is Alex Sanchez, and he has written many books for queer youth, for LGBTQ+ youth. And so I loved his series, Rainbow Boys. And then when he published the book, The God Box, I was like, well, I'll read that too, because I love Alex Sanchez. But I felt so distanced from this book. I couldn't relate to it in the slightest. It was about a gay Christian, or a kid that was trying to not be gay. And a gay kid who's Christian moves to their town, to his school, but he's super openly gay, but also really religious, just like everyone else in the school. And they're so religious that they pray together. They talk about Jesus all the time. They're quoting Bible verses to each other. Like, I was like, I can't relate to this book in the slightest, but I like the author. So it's amazing that I now understand Christians on such a different level now. And now I look back to my experiences in Great Falls, and I'm like, yeah, those were not the Christians that was not the same type of Christianity, I guess, that I should have been experiencing, that there was something wrong there. But at the same time, I look back then at the mom who said, look at the beautiful sunset God has given us. And I'm like, yeah, I can see that now. Yeah, you can say that in front of me, and that's fine. My stepfather's aunt, whom I call auntie, she says that she prays for me. And now I cry and say thank you, because I know how much that means. It means so much that she's praying about me and thinking about me. I can find so much more understanding of other people and people of other faiths now that I'm religious or more spiritual, or just have come more into contact with my own Judaism, Jewishness. And I think that's really special. I feel like I've just learned so much now.
Wow, that's wonderful.
You've already mentioned different practices that you're incorporating in your Jewishness, or in your approach to Judaism. Are there some practices that you want to share more in detail, how you do stuff? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, so other stuff that's not specifically Jewish that I read tarot cards. And it's not that I believe, it's really hard to start talking about it, because it's like, it's such a strange concept to some people, being like, oh, you read tarot, what are you, psychic? For me, reading tarot has been a way to connect with my intuition, to learn how to trust my self-confidence, trust myself and increase my self-confidence again, increase my self-love and understanding of myself. So I view the 78 cards in the deck as the universe. And I look at those symbols, every card could be correct, whichever one I draw could be correct. I just look at that part of the universe and I interpret and I connect, just like I do when I read Torah. When I read Torah and I compare this stuff to my own life, to music, to books, to movies, whatever, I do the same thing with tarot. And then I'm able to feel grounded and less anxious, and I'm more in the moment. And that's something I really strive to do, is be more in the moment. And I can get that through tarot. I can get that through praying, through reading Torah, meditative practices, a bunch of different things now. For me, tarot has been really helpful, just being like, I intuitively read the cards and I trust my intuition. I see it and I'm like, oh, that's obviously representing this relationship. And even if it's not, even if someone else is going to look at that card and view it totally differently, it's exactly what it means for me in that moment. It's 100% correct. And I can use the information that I'm gleaning from it to feel better and to progress in the world and as a person.
That's great. That's such a great way of describing it. I also have difficulty explaining. I got into tarot a bit last year. I've fallen a bit away from it, but it was a very similar experience. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions like, oh, are you doing this, mm-hmm. this with it? When it really is this mm-hmm. just internal, there's no wrong answer, because you're really just connecting with that, whatever it is inside yourself that's speaking to you, mm-hmm. the Shekhinah, we could even call it.
Yeah, exactly.
And mm-hmm. I think that's a great way of describing it. Well, that's amazing. I mean, Anya, do you have any other questions before we wrap up? Anya?
Are we going to wrap this up?
Yes, I don't know. Yeah. I have
so many more questions.
have other questions. I do, but I don't know if at one point.
We sometimes ask our guests if they have a wish for the Jewish Vienna, if they have this particular idea of how things could get better or more.
Wow. So it's hard for me to feel like I should say something about that just because I'm so early in my journey in being Jewish in Vienna. But I guess as someone coming, like reintroducing myself to the faith and someone who lives in Vienna, who's affected by Judaism in Vienna, my biggest thing is don't forget to love everyone regardless of who they are. Always read Torah with love, from the perspective of love, and accept people who they are, because we were made exactly as we were, and there's no reason to try and force anyone to change. So specifically for me, that means if you are LGBT, if you are disabled, if you're a person of color, if you're in some other intersectionally oppressed group, these are people that are often forgotten in any faith. Hebrew is so gendered. And in Judaism, it's been a huge thing a lot that cis men have been the stories that we've been telling. And there we haven't told all the stories of women yet, let alone the stories of trans and non-binary people. So I think that it's really important for Jewish people in Vienna to learn about the experiences of all Jews in the past and today, and not just the cis men and our ancestors, whom we love their stories. I love Moses. I got a whole thing of I've got a stacked little wooden thingy of Moses that my mom gave me as a kid, and I love it. But he's a cis man, and I want to explore different genders in Judaism.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's a wonderful note to end. I think a beautiful wish for Jewish Vienna and Judaism overall in the entire world, universe. Thank you so much for being here with us, Ari. I'm sure we will ask you back very soon.
I sure hope so. Thank you so much. This was wonderful. I love chatting about this, and I'm so glad to have had the opportunity to discuss this and to get to know both of you a little bit better.
Und wie wir jetzt schon gehört haben, in Aris Leben passieren ganz, ganz spannende Sachen. Sie machen auch einen sehr interessanten Podcast. Und dieser Podcast heißt The Repeller Muggleton Podcast. Es geht um Harry Potter. Mehr verraten wir eigentlich nicht. Hört es einfach mal rein. Wir posten den Link. Wir verlinken das auch eben bei unserer Podcast-Episode. Und nach diesem ausführlichen und so total spannenden Gespräch bedanken wir uns natürlich wie immer für eure Aufmerksamkeit. Wir bitten natürlich wie immer auch um Feedback auf unseren Social-Media-Plattformen. Wir sind auf Spotify und anderen Podcast-Plattformen. Und eine ganz wichtige Ankündigung. Nächste Woche am 21. Jänner, das ist der Donnerstag, der 21. Jänner um 18 Uhr, gibt es eine Veranstaltung, die heißt Young Believers Online. Man findet es unter UBON. Da diskutieren wir mit drei anderen Influencern bzw. Influencerinnen aus verschiedenen Religionsgemeinschaften über Religion online und wie sich eben verschiedene kulturelle und religiöse Praktiken und Vernetzungsmöglichkeiten entwickelt haben in den letzten, ja, eigentlich schon fast einem Jahr. Und wir laden natürlich alle herzlich ein, beim Stream mitzuschauen. Es wird natürlich nur online stattfinden. Und das war auch alles für heute. Wir hören uns wieder bald und Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.